Invite you as we look at God's word now. Invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Just a reminder again, we don't have children's sermon this morning. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer in the past several weeks, looking at little snippets of it, the different petitions as we go through. And we've also been looking at the doubts that we have. When thinking about prayer, when wrestling with prayer, often these doubts that come in very silent ways, in ways that are in the midst of our hearts, ways that we rarely tell others. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm afraid of. And yet God knows these things, and so even as Jesus gives us this example to pray, he also addresses the fears and the doubts that we have, even by the way that he structures and gives us the things that we are to pray. So we continue in that theme this week. I invite you to stand as we hear the reading of God's word. This is God speaking to us, and we echo his words as we can pray these things. So hear now as I read from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Jesus says, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would bless your word in our hearing and study of it this morning. All of us in this room, God, are needy. We are in need of your spirit to show us, to enlighten us, to show us what you would have us learn and to know and to put into practice in our lives. We can read these words over and over again, but unless your Spirit teaches us, we will have no wisdom. And so as we come before you, we ask that you would give us the wisdom that we need this morning. Show us Christ. Show us that he is our Messiah, and in him we have all the promises of God. That we can rest and trust in him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this week we are turning. We are turning from the petitions that address our needs in light of the God-focused petitions that Jesus has started with. The petitions of our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. All of these things, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, are focused on who God is and what God is doing, his intentions for us. The need that we have to understand our lives, all that we are, all that we do, in this framework, in the worldview that God is God, that he is our Father, that he's in control, that he is good, that he cares for us, that all he does on behalf of us and towards us and in us and through us is to accomplish his will and his goodness. All of these things are very important for us. But I think that leaves us with the questions of what then should we think about our lives, about our needs, our desires? If Jesus left off with those first few petitions, we would be wondering, does God really care all that much about my needs? Yes, he's my Father. I can come to him, I can worship him, I can give him the glory. What about my everyday life? Jesus obviously knows this. He doesn't just leave us with petitions that are focused on God's glory. But then he transitions. He starts to teach us about our needs in light of who God is. But he cares. He shows us that we do need, that we have real needs that we need to bring to God. It's interesting, when Jesus says these are the things we ought to pray for, he's not just saying that we should pray for them because they are our needs, but he's saying we should pray for them because God has promised to give us these things. He's promised to give us our needs. So this morning, as we look at this first petition of our need, we'll see the provision that God has given us. Our need is fulfilled by our provider. One of the doubts that we face, and again, as we've been looking at these doubts, we've been trying to unpack those feelings that we have, those doubts that we often feel, even in minute ways. As I thought through what doubts really go on here, well, there's actually a lot. There's a lot of doubts that come up into our minds or into our hearts as we ask God to give us our daily bread or to give us what we really need. I don't know that I can narrow it down to just one, but here are a few that I think capture kind of a range. Is God really going to give me abundant good? Can I truly ask God for anything? Is God angry when I ask for what I desire? Maybe those things aren't exactly the way that you would phrase it. But I think as we tease out the thoughts in our hearts, we tease out the tendency of how we pray, those are the words that come to my mind that fill up the void of what is God doing? What does he expect? What is our need? So this morning as we study this passage, I believe that God will start to answer those questions. And we begin with our need. God, give us this day our daily bread. In this passage, Jesus shows us that because God is not only able to provide, but he delights in giving us what is truly good. And we can pray boldly, trusting him to meet both our physical needs and the deeper hunger of our hearts, that spiritual hunger. He'll fulfill it with himself. We'll see this in 3 points this morning. First, disordered desires. Second, promised provision. And third, a giving God. So that's what we're looking at this morning. First, let's look at the disordered desires. Why does Jesus tell us that we need to pray for our daily bread? Well, it teaches us a couple things about our need, right? And one of the first things that it teaches us is that when we pray to God, sometimes we pray for things that we desire, but our desires may not be ordered appropriately. Remember, Jesus started with focusing on God, with basing our prayers on who God is, that he is the center, that he will provide as a father lovingly provides. But when we come to God, are we coming to God as a loving father? What are we afraid of when we ask God for our daily bread? Is it really that he won't give us what we need to survive? Perhaps. There are times in our lives when we do not see where tomorrow's resources will come from. We don't see how God may provide, and so we have to cry out, God, give us our daily bread. In those times, I think it's actually easier to cry out to God. There's nowhere else to go. In that time, in those times of needs, perhaps all the other things fade away, all the other desires fade away, and that we are looking at God more clearly. So when asking God for what we need, our daily bread, when we are desperately in need, maybe it's a little bit easier for the doubts to disappear. But I think for most of us, most of the time, it's a lot more complicated than desperately asking God for what we need. Most of us don't have a need for a daily bread, wondering where our rations are going to come from. Most of us have fridges that are full of food. Now, there are many in our community and in our world that do not have these things. We'll get to God's provision for His people, for His creation, how God really does care for us. But I think for us here this morning, what we really need to look at is this desire that we have, the desire to be fulfilled. Because Jesus isn't just saying that we need to ask for our needs, our desperate needs, but Jesus is really calling us to trust in God for everything that we need. After all, Jesus says in many places that we don't just need food. We don't just need bread. There are a lot of other things in this life that we need, that God has created in us a need to be cared for. When we come to God in prayer, we don't want to be uncared for. We don't want to live in a broken world. We don't, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't want to depend on God for everything. We don't like to face all of the suffering and pain in this world. It feels wrong. And that's true. God knows that. And He knows the brokenness of this world. He knows that we want to be seen. He knows that we want to be safe, to be secure and soothed. All of those things are truly things that we desire because God has placed in our hearts a need for Him. All of these things are fundamental necessities in our lives. And Jesus is saying here that we ought to look to God for them. However, our sinful nature looks at our own efforts or the world around us to fulfill these desires. And I have to ask here, I have to wrestle with this and be careful here, because the world would say that you can achieve these things through your own power, through your own efforts. Is the world enough? After all, there is enough, technically, enough food in this world so that everyone in the world could eat and not be hungry. Yet there is still hunger in our world. The truth is that the humanistic worldview that would like to believe that we're all going to get there someday, that food won't be an issue, that medicine will cure every disease, even depression and anxiety will be a thing of the past, the truth is that these things cannot ever be achieved by man's power. Friends, I'm empathetic to the hope of a perfect world. And indeed, God has placed in our hearts a desire for a perfect world. But do we truly believe that mankind is able to achieve this? Look at the confusion and the brokenness in our world that cannot be erased. Human trafficking, murder of the unborn, tenuous politics, gender and identity crises. These things are just a few of the fundamentally conflicted and unresolvable things in our world. How can a broken world fix itself? We must look to Christ. Christ alone is able to bring about a kingdom of healing, of rescue, of hope. So we see our disordered desires often lead us to trusting in broken things of this world, in broken cisterns, places where we will not find fulfillment and rest. But there is a promised provision. That's our second point. Jesus tells us to pray for these things because there is a promised provision. What does Jesus assure us through this prayer? Why does he teach us to pray this? I think we see two things that Jesus will assure us of because we are praying these things. First, we see that God cares for your physical wellness. He cares for your daily bread. He cares for your good, for your physical health. He cares for your daily life. What did we read earlier in the Heidelberg Catechism? That not a hair of your head will perish without God's consent. Do we truly believe that? It's hard, isn't it? We see the brokenness of this world and we wrestle with Jesus. How can you be telling us that God will give us all that we need, and yet at the same time we do see brokenness. We do see evil in this world. Jesus, when he talked about that God would rescue us, that he would heal us, that he would save us. Luke 21, Jesus was talking about how the disciples would be hurt, would be put in places of suffering. Verse 16, he says, "You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake." And the very next thing he says, "But not a hair of your head will perish." By your endurance, you will gain your lives. God cares about our physical bodies. Jesus could have said, "Don't worry, your soul will be saved, even if they deliver you up to die. Your soul will be rescued." That is 100% true. But that's not what Jesus says here. He says, "Not a hair of your head will perish." God cares about our bodies, and there's something more here. How can Jesus say that they will be delivered up to death, that we will be delivered up even to death, and yet we will be saved? Was the simple truth, but a complex truth in the same way, that this world is not the end. There is more to our lives, our physical lives, than this world would seem to offer. And that's something that our world cannot comprehend, that our societies and our cultures cannot understand. That's why they cannot look for hope in God. Because God promises that those who are in Christ are saved through death. Not only that, but our weakness, our brokenness, our need will be removed and provided by Jesus. When he comes again, he will raise our bodies to glory. So God really cares for our physical wellness. But he also cares for our spiritual wellness. As I mentioned, Jesus could have said, your soul will be saved. We see this many times throughout Scripture. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but at every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, defending himself against the attacks of Satan, he says, I will not live by bread alone. But what is more important, what is more needful, is the Word of God. John 4, Jesus said to his disciples, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? They were confused. They wondered, what's going on? Somebody got him food. But Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. How can this be? God's word, as we see, as we saw back in Genesis, is a powerful word. God's word is able to do what it goes out to do. By God's word, the heavens were created. The earth was formed. The earth and waters were separated. Animals were brought forth, and God made man. If God is able to create us by his word, then he is able to sustain us, to lead us by his word. But this word enters not through our mouths, but through our hearts. God teaches us through his spirit. If God cares for us physically, then he cares for us more so, more thoroughly spiritually, not because our bodies are less than our spirits, but because our bodies are built up by our spirits. They are sustained by God's power. Therefore, whatever suffering that we face in this world is not a lack of God fulfilling our daily portion. If we lack, then there is something else that we need. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that they should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. What do we lack? If we lack anything, is it not a lack that drives us back to God? At least it should. If there's anything in this life that causes us pain and causes us to realize our weakness, that ought to drive us to Christ, who is powerful in our weakness. I often struggle with this as I work each week, as I prepare sermons. Every week battling a low to medium level of anxiety, of fear, of wondering what God is doing, how he will do his work in my life, through my life. It's been there for the past few years, and I've prayed many times for God to take it away. But in this journey, he has helped me to work through various things various contributions to this anxiety, but all the way through, He has been faithful in my weakness. He hasn't removed it, but He's shown me His faithfulness. And through this, I have been able to know my God, to know that He is faithful, to know that He is keeping me away from pride and self-sufficiency, just like Paul. Where pride says, I've arrived, the thorn says, Jesus is carrying you. So what then ought we to ask for? What provisions can we look for in God? We should ask God for what is good, for what is needful, for our daily bread, both physically and spiritually. James 4 says, you do not have because you do not ask. We should ask. We should ask God. But James continues, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend on your passions. Jesus truly came, as he said, so that we may have abundant life. But is that abundant life what we think it is? It's definitely not what the world thinks of abundant life, of possessions, of power, authority, strength. Mainly because the world sees freedom, a free life, as being unrestrained, unaccountable to God. We cannot have an abundant life that is apart from God. So abundant life that God gives us is an abundant life, fullness and goodness founded upon Him as our Creator and Father. He is a giving God, a God that gives us what we need. We've seen our disordered desires. We've seen the provider. Let's look then at what God gives us, this giving God, what He gives to us. God is able to give what we need. And Jesus, because He is petitioning God, because He's petitioning His Father to give us what we need, and He invites us into that conversation, right? Jesus has been having this conversation with His Father from all eternity. And He invites us into this conversation in a very human way. God, give us our daily bread. What we need to survive. We trust in You. God is able to give us what we need. He does that in the best way for us. That's what this means. As we are invited into this conversation, that God will give it to us in the way that is most needful for us, in the way that matches our creatureliness. In a way that reminds us of who He is and our need for Him. Sometimes that means that our eyes have to be removed from the things of this world, the things that we think we desperately need. We need to fix our eyes upon our Father, who is the one who gives us what is good. For physical needs, He gives us much, but His grace also extends through the church. And when I mentioned that there are many who are in need, real physical need, where they are looking for their daily bread, God uses His people in a mysterious way through the church to give what is good. God has done this through the millennia. Even back when Israel was called to be a people set apart for God, they were called to be kind to the strangers, the sojourners in their land, to give, to care. That we too, who are God's children, need to care and to love our neighbors. To be mindful of the needs of those around us, both physical and spiritual. And for those who are in the body of Christ, part of why we need to be plugged into a physical body of believers is that God gives us good things through this body. God often takes care of us through the care of one another. I know we all know this, but there's also a stubbornness, I think, in many of our hearts to not want to show our needs, to not want to accept the kindness of those around us. But remember, friends, this is God acting as a loving Father through your brothers and sisters. God loves to give us good gifts through those around us. The other thing, and the last thing that I think we'll see here, the thing that we'll end on, is that God also gives us the hunger that we need. God supplies food. He supplies what is needful for our lives. But are we hungry enough for it? I think most of us probably don't have any issues being hungry when it's mealtime, when it's time to sit down for breakfast or lunch or dinner. We're ready to go. We're excited about food. Sometimes the kids going through the house looking for snacks throughout the day, they're excited. I don't know if any of you can relate to that feeling of being excited for food. I certainly can. But the spiritual food that we desperately need, it doesn't always have that same desire in our hearts, does it? I must admit, on Sunday mornings when we come to church, I don't always have that hunger. And yet God is faithful. One of the things that we see that God gives us good food, good spiritual food, He does that in a way that also draws our hearts to love it, to want more of it. He will create in us a new heart, as He has promised throughout the Old Testament and even into the New. God will give us a heart that loves Him. It doesn't mean that we should give up. We don't need to care. We don't need to come on Sunday morning ready and eager to hear and to be fed. But it does mean that when we forget, when we aren't so passionate, when we don't have that deep desire as we ought to, that God is still working. He is still drawing us to Himself. Jesus said in John 6, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Therefore, we must earnestly pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. God, give us our daily bread. Provide for us. Work in our hearts what we need. God, let us know You. Let us rest in You. And God, fill us as we rest in You, as we seek Your face. Fill us with Yourself. Fill us with all that we need so that we can be satisfied in You. That's what Jesus teaches us to pray. If you are trusting in Jesus this morning, He is inviting you into this prayer. And if you're not trusting in Him, what else can satisfy the desire of your heart? What else can fill you in the way that Jesus has promised to fill you? There's nothing in this world that can do that. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You. We thank You that You lift our eyes, even in times of weakness, even in times when we do not have the appetite that we ought. We've tried to satisfy our souls with junk food of this world. But when we taste and see that You are good, when we taste the truth of what You have offered us in Christ, we thank You that You develop that hunger in our hearts. God, we ask that You would provide all that we need, both physically and spiritually. We thank You that You, in giving us this prayer, teach us that whatever we need, both good and wondrous and abundant things, all of these things will be satisfied in time, in Christ, as it is good for us, as it is Your will. And so we rest in You. We trust in You. And we give You the praise and the glory. Let us do Your name. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.